All right, let's get some scriptures handed out. 2 Corinthians 6, 4 through 8. We'll share if you'll read that for us. That'll be our main passage. Mark 4, 28. Preston, if you'll get that for us. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 4. Jared, if you'll get that. Jared, 2 Corinthians 6, 4. Zechariah 4 and verse 10. Lem, if you'll get that. Zechariah 4, 10. And then 2 Corinthians 6, 6. Brian, if you'll get that. 2 Corinthians 6, 6. Lastly, Joel 2, 25. Phil, if you'll read that for us. Joel 2, 25. Okay. I want to talk, and I'm going to start a Serious Men series out of the passage we're going to read this morning, and this is going to be titled Pioneer Persistence. And the work of a pioneer is hard work. It requires a lot out of you, and what we're going to learn is it requires a lot out of you in different ways. And so we're going to look at some of the struggles that Paul faced in pioneering, and how he overcame them. And this, of course, can be practical for you today. The lessons we're going to be learning throughout this will fit in your discipleship, but will also help you in your future ministry. So today we're going to start with pioneering patience. So the series, Pioneer Persistence. Today's lesson, pioneering patience, out of 2 Corinthians 6, verses 4 through 8.
Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and calamities, in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, in labor, sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity, knowledge, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit, and in sincere love, in truthful speech, and in the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness, in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, slander and praise, viewed as impostors yet genuine.
Okay, so we're going to look at this morning, and just in his translation it said in much endurance there at the beginning. New King James Version says patience, but same idea there. So, pioneering patience. Let's look firstly at the issue of time. In pioneering and in working with people in general, we have to factor in the reality of time. But this is an overall truth in life when you think it through, and that is good things, they take time. Good things, you have to work at it. Good things require persistence in the same direction. There's not really any shortcuts for the good things in life, right? You want a good marriage? It's going to take investment. You want a good home and kids, you know, behaving, etc. That's going to take work and time and patience. Think building your money. It takes time. It has to be disciplined, and it starts many times small, and it seems insignificant. So if it's so insignificant, why should I even try to save or build and grow my money? Character credit takes time. When you first meet people, or they're your first building relationship, that character credit, who you are, they're just getting to know you, that's going to take some time. Building trust with people can take time. This was a factor that I faced a little bit different in New York that I'll speak on. But time frames of all the things I just mentioned, time frames can vary. It's not like, well, how long does it take to have a good? How long does it take to grow a good? How long? It varies depending, number one, on the person. Some people have an ability or better ability in certain arenas of life than others. So it depends on the purpose, person. It depends on the people that they're connected to, right? Building relationships, it can be easier in some areas than others, with some regions than others, with some cultures than others. So the people that are connected to you in your life and whatever it is you're trying to grow, that can vary. Circumstances can vary, right? Have you ever had a good plan for something? You can plan it all out, but the circumstances, they change. Variables change. The factors change. So there isn't a substitution for time. So the question we have to ask is why? Why do good things take time? And I want to ask that. Why do you think good things take time? Yeah, Micah.
In part to like understand the value of what it is.
It can take time because it's in you. You got to understand the value of it. Yeah, that could be possible.
Either maybe you're not ready or they're not ready or the situation. God needs to work things out.
Okay, sometimes things need to be worked out, right? And that can be true in life. That can be true in the circumstance. And it's just going to take some time for that. Good. Yeah, another hand. Yeah, David.
I was just going to say everything in life is like planting seeds, and you don't plant a harvest right away, or you don't get a harvest right away.
Good.
As convenient as that would be.
Yes, very good. And that is absolutely true, is life is filled with seeds, right? I think it was Martin Clock gave the illustration of the person that had the dream and they saw Jesus and, wow, Jesus is here. Now he can answer, I want this, this, this. And he gave a list and Jesus said, here you go. And it was a packet of seeds. What is this? Well, you got to plant that. Those things you want, you got to plant it and then allow it to grow. And this is the order of life. Let's read Mark 4:28.
All by itself, the soil produced grain. First the stalk, then the head, then a full kernel in the head.
Okay, so here's the process. Mark 4:28, Jesus is speaking and says, the earth is going to yield a crop. There's going to be things in life that planting and harvesting factor, but first the blade, that shoot, right? It's like, this is going to be a cornfield one day. This is going to produce crops one day. This is going to be grand and incredible one day, but you've got to plant, you've got to water, you've got to weed, you've got to turn soil, you've got to prep, all these different things. So ultimately then, after planting, comes that blade, then that head. This thing begins to grow and mature, and after that, the full grain in the head. Now you have that corn. Now you have that substance. But from the planting to the harvest, as David pointed out, it just takes time. There is no working around that. This is going to be part of the process now in also working with people. So as disciples, as men of God, as future pastors, you need to get comfortable with time. Need to get comfortable that some things will take some time. Again, how much time? That just depends on so many other factors. Some things can, people can grow quick. Some things can happen quickly. But pastors make mistakes when they rush things too quickly, when they're pushing for things that people aren't ready for, when they're driving things that people aren't ready for, when they're challenging things that people just aren't ready for. I remember when we took over in Santa Fe, New Mexico, within 6 months, we felt like, my wife and I, we felt like we were their pastor. It happened very quickly. There was a quick bond and there was a quick connection. Why? Because it's the Southwest. Relationship is priority here in this area, right? Relationship is everything. So you work at it. You work at relationship. You work at that warmth. You work at getting to know people. You overlook things right away, more likely to overlook things, I should say, right away than in other places. So 6 months, we felt like, hey, we're their pastor. And we're tight-knit with people. You know, not a huge work, but, you know, we had connected with everyone in the church very fast. In New York, Very different story. Probably after about 2 years, we felt like we were their pastor. Different society. They don't do the whole, hi, how are you? So nice to meet you. Why? Because they don't know yet. I don't know if it's nice to meet you. That has yet to be learned. And that can really throw, you know, spin you out a little bit because you feel like you're trying, right? But that's not the priority. The priority there is time. And time, you know, not just getting things done, but also time, I'm going to wait and see. It's not that I don't like you, but I don't know that I do like you. It's not that I don't want to be your friend. I just don't know how much of a friend I want to be with you. They're not going to sell, right? They're not going to sell this relationship too early. And that's just a factor that has to be considered in building relationships. That's why I'm saying when you're working with people, you're going to need some, as Paul says, patience. And let's look secondly at patience. See, the answer to the time reality is patience. Let's read 2 Corinthians 6:4.
But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way by endurance in afflictions, hardships, and calamities.
Okay, again, his translation says endurance. We are ministering, and what points to our ministry, what points to the credibility of our ministry, we're patient. Which, why their translations are saying endurance, is it patience in the New King James means steadfast endurance. It's a steadfast, not just I need endurance, it's steadfast, it's continual. I am continuously working on the relationship. I'm continuously giving them the benefit of the doubt, working with them where they are at. It's a steadfast endurance. In ministry, men, you need to be ready to marathon in ministry. You need to be ready to marathon in this. That this is going to be not something I can do, not something I'm going to try. This is my life. This is what I am called to. This is what I'm committing myself to. This is what I'm determined to live out and finish out, because this divine calling, this divine mandate has been placed on me by God. So we need that. I remember going through a difficult season in Santa Fe, and I remember calling my pastor, and my brain was just spinning out in the sense that it's like all of these problems. And you know, I said this the other morning in breakfast. Pastor Wayman told my wife and I in ministry, there's going to be a lot of things that feel personal that aren't. But I bought into that narrative, into the lie that this problem is my fault, this problem is our fault, this problem is because of me, this problem is, and this person left, and this person, right? And you look at it, it's all personal. It's like, if I wasn't here, I think I'm the common denominator. And I called Pastor Greg, right, and said, I think I need to come home. I think I made a mistake. I think I, you know, someone else would do better here, all the different things. And he said, he interrupted and said, stop, but didn't God call you? And I remembered very clearly in that moment, yes, God called me. And I remember when it was fully settled, when I'm about to go to college and I'm sitting in an orientation class that's going to consume 4 years of my life. And God said, what are you called to? Okay, I knew it. I knew I was called to this. Yes, God called me. And he said, then God will help you. If God called you, then he'll help you. Okay, that helped Jesse Morales. But after that conversation, I remember praying, God, if this is going to be the rest of my life, then I need you to help me. I need you to help me. If this is what I'm doing the rest of my life, if I'm supposed to do this until you return or I die, then I need this steadfast endurance, even in the midst of trouble, even in the midst of people problems, even in the midst of setbacks, even in the midst of, you know, false accusation, even in the midst of victories and glory, that I would have a steadfast endurance. And that was something I prayed a different way. I prayed, give me the resilience of Pastor Wayman Mitchell. He had the ability when life pressured like a spring pressures down, it's resilient. I can spring back. We need that in life. You have to be ready to marathon in ministry. I enjoy distance running personally. There's so much you wrestle through in a 3 mile run, 6 mile run, 10 mile run, 13 mile run. You're wrestling through so many different things when you want to give up, but you know there's still race ahead. When you want to stop, but there's still run ahead. Or you've ran out, now I've got to run back to the car. Ain't nobody going to come pick me up. So it's one of those things, you have to, you know in your mind, there is still race ahead, so I need to pace to maintain endurance to the finish. I need to pace. You need a pace with people. You need a pace in ministry. You need a pace with the things that are maybe taking a little more time than you expected. And that's the view with working with people. That's the view of pioneering. You're going to have some people, they get saved and they grow like weeds. They're just sprouting. It's like, everything is amazing. Everything is wonderful and powerful. And I can name the names of those converts that just grew like weeds. They were just fast, quick, got it. Others, eventually, they're going to be a redwood giant. They're going to be a pillar. They're going to be stable. They're going to be grounded. They're going to be, right, these incredible, wonderful, powerful prayer warriors. But it's going to take some time. It's going to take some time for some things to grow in them. Both are growth, just at different levels. Both are growing. Some are going to take a little more time than others. So patience is the answer. And patience has some benefits. Number one, patience will give you, maybe before I answer, what do you think patience gives you? Why do you think we would need this now? Yeah, John?
Endurance.
Yes. Yes, it gives you endurance. Absolutely.
I feel like it would give you trust in God.
Okay. All right. Very good. It'll help you trust God. Yeah. What else? Yeah.
Peace.
It'll give you peace with the
clarity
ministry.
Of mind.
Say that one more time.
Clarity of mind.
Clarity of mind. Yeah. You're not going to, you'll be able to sleep at night. Absolutely. Yeah. Micah?
It'll keep you encouraged.
It'll keep, yeah, very good. It'll keep you encouraged. Yes, absolutely. No, and those would all be different truths of why patience has benefits. Number one, patience will give you wisdom with people. When you are patient and you have that steadfast endurance, you will be able to be versatile with varying converts. Right? Not everyone's the same. Look around the room. Not everyone's the same. We're all different. We all come from different backgrounds. We come from different cultures. We've come from different families. We've come from different backgrounds. We've come from different experiences. Right? There's a variety in this room. So what a pastor needs, what a man of God needs, is patience for the variables you're going to be working with. Everyone here, not only are we different and come from different backgrounds, everyone here is working through different problems. Everyone here has different issues that they're wrestling and working through. So this will help you. It will give you wisdom with people. Pastor Wayman Mitchell used to say, run with your runners and walk with your walkers. Wisdom helps you identify who's a runner and who's a walker. Wisdom will help you. There's some people, they're trying to make walkers runners. Those walkers are like, stop, I am not running. No. Then there's others that are running that you're trying to get to walk, and it's like, why? Let them run. Let them run with this. Let them try that. Let them go for it. And that gives you wisdom. Secondly, I think it was Jared said it this way, it'll help you trust God. You'll let God be God. when we have patience, we will refrain from being the Holy Ghost. How many here are good at being the Holy Ghost? Yeah, none of us. It does not help people. It does not encourage them. It does not fix them. So when you have patience, you can trust God. And you can leave some things with God and say, all right, I'm trusting you, God. I'm trusting that you're at work in their life. When I went to New York, it was a very difficult situation. It was a very tricky takeover. There was a lot of factors that, you know, I could write a book on it. It's like these just different dynamics and situations and circumstances and questions that sometimes Pastor Greg would say, Jesse, I don't know. You're there. You're there. You're going to have to make a decision. Jesse, I don't know. They all sound like poison. Which one's the less poison? I don't know. That's why I called you. You know. But one of the things Pastor Greg told me before I ever even stepped into Rochester, New York, in that tricky situation, he said, don't feel like you have to change everything for God to help you. That statement saved my life and saved that church and saved a lot of heartache and frustration, and I can let God be God. I can trust Him. I can trust that He's going to do what needs to get done, be done and get done. And that saved so much trouble. That enabled me to let God be God. In fact, there was times where I wanted to run at something, run at an issue, run at a person and deal with things. And sometimes I'd be in prayer. I can even remember one time distinctly in my car, just praying over something, and like a hand on my chest. Numbers of times. That's how I can describe it. It felt almost like, slow down. Trust me. And that statement was absolutely helpful. Finally, then, this goes back to what Micah said, this helps you, when you have patience, it helps you celebrate the small victories. You appreciate the people that are there, the people that you're working with. You value the growth. Instead of focusing on where people aren't at, why aren't they doing this? Why isn't that guy doing that? Why isn't that disciple? How come this couple? How come that family? How come this guy? How come, right? You can focus so much on these negatives. Whereas when you have patience, you can celebrate the good decisions that are happening. Man, you see so-and-so, they were in prayer. Man, did you see so-and-so? They came with a suit, with a tie on. Did you see so-and-so? Got a haircut. Man, he looks sharp. You see so-and-so, right? And it's, hey, now they've come 4 services in a row. Praise God. God's moving in it. You see, they brought a visitor with them. All those little things, you celebrate those small victories. And Pastor Greg has said, what you celebrate, you cement. You're putting that into the foundation of your church. You're putting that in the foundation of people. You're putting that into the foundation of your family, of your home, right? Think in your life right now, in the way you talk about church, and the way you talk about your pastor, and the way you talk about evangelism, and the way you talk about people and follow-up. Do you think your children would want to do this when they're older? Because if it's all negative, that this is what they're remembering. My parents worked with people, my parents invested in people, and no one ever did, and it made them upset, it made them grieved, it made them... How we communicate. So when we're celebrating, it gives those around you something to look at and celebrate with you. Even the small victories are paying big dividends in the kingdom of God, and patience helps you see that. Let's look at Zechariah 4:10.
For who has despised the day of small things? For these 7 rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They are the eyes of the Lord, which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth.
Okay, don't despise the small beginnings. Don't despise the small victories. Our scripture says, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. God rejoices even in the small victories. Why? Because God is patient. Because God is long-suffering. Because God is gracious and merciful. And when people make even small good decisions, God says, I see the work starting. And this is going to be good. When we capture the heart of God like that in our lives, that's how we can view it. I see the work beginning. Right? Didn't you feel it when Pastor Greg preached, I see a hand? Mm-hmm. Yes. Didn't you feel that? Didn't you feel the stirring, the excitement, the... And it's like, I felt like, let's start a movement, you know? But it was just so, why? Because that's his view on life. That's his view on ministry. But that's the heart of God. That's what we're looking at. And it changes so much of how you view people and situations and circumstances. It gives this drive. Because God is patient. We can be patient. In ministry, in pioneering, in working with people, you are going to need patience. So let's close. Let's talk about ministers of God. So patience is a quality that encourages ministry to continue in you. That endurance, it's going to help you. Because sometimes pastors give up. Maybe they give up on people. Maybe they give up on couples, maybe they give up on potential, maybe they give up on ministry altogether because it's not happening in the time they imagined, or it's not happening in the time they expected, which is why we need the power of God. Patience, when Paul says we are ministers of God, and you know that because of our patience, you know that because of our steadfast endurance. But where does that come from? It comes from God. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 6:6.
We prove ourselves by our purity, our understanding, our patience, our kindness, by the Holy Spirit within us, and by our sincere love.
Go ahead and read verse 7 also.
We faithfully preach the truth. God's power is working in us. We use the weapons of righteousness in the right hand for attack and the left hand for defense.
Okay, think about this now. Paul, going back to where we're reading, he has patience. Why? Patience through 8 spiritual enablements. We are ministers of God in patience by, the New King James Version says, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and left. Those are the divine factors, the supernatural factors that help us be patient with people. We need that. I want to tell you, everything we're going to look at comes back to verses 6 and 7. You need to contend, God, give me a heart of purity. God, put within me knowledge. What Pastor Greg says, my number one prayer every morning is wisdom. God, help me to be long-suffering. If I'm long-suffering, I'm going to be patient. If I'm long-suffering, then I'm going to have that in steadfast endurance, et cetera, down the list. Those are some things you can pray for. Ask God to put in you. So I can be patient by these 8 spiritual enablements. And ultimately, I can be patient because I trust God. Now, there are some ways you can encourage growth. Like I said, there aren't any shortcuts. Right? There's no shortcuts to the time factor. It's just part of life. But you can encourage. You can encourage, number one, by continuing to labor. You can encourage growth as long as you keep spreading seed. The more seed you plant, the more potential for harvest you have. Right? If you plant one seed, you can expect to yield a one seed crop. But if you plant 100 seeds, you can expect 100 seed crop. It changes the results. It changes the produce, right? So with that, if you'll keep evangelizing, if you'll continue following up, if you'll continue building connections and building bridges and finding favor with people and businesses and groups and all the different things we do, then you can encourage growth at a faster pace. I find guys, you know, every now and then they're complaining about ministry, pastors that are complaining about ministry, but they aren't planting anything. They aren't planting and prepping and plowing and seeding and weeding and watering, and it's not happening. So no wonder. Secondly, you can encourage growth through follow-up. Right? It's good to water that seed. It's good to revisit that seed, revisit and follow up with relationship, with prayer, with scripture, with connections. Some seeds take time to germinate. We just had a young man come in the week of revival, and he's coming, right? But I learned, I think, from IEL, he came to a haunted house like 3 years ago. So 3 years ago, and now 3 years later, that's what I'm talking about, is, and there's a connection, there's an open door, there's follow-up that's happening. That seed is getting a little bit of water, and it's not growing super fast, but it's growing. And it's reminding us that sometimes we don't see all the investment, all the labor, but it starts to pay off and it starts to play out. So keep watering, revisiting, redepositing, turning the soil, because one day that seed will sprout. One day that person might be a soul winner, key convert, etc. Finally then, you can encourage growth through prayer. God can hasten growth. God can do anything. God can take, right, to God, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. He can put 1,000 years worth of growth into one day. That's what God can do. Totally capable. God can do amazing miracles in one day. So it's a way to pray. God, help them grow. Help them in revelation and wisdom. Help them to have a love for you, a love for your word, a love for preaching, a love, all the different things we talked about in praying for our church. Let's read Joel 2:25.
I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten, the great locusts and the young locusts, the other locusts and the locusts more, my great army that I sent among you.
All right. Whatever way it looks, whether it was swarming, hopper, destroyer, cutter, doesn't matter. God says, I can restore it. I can fix it. I can heal it. And so you can pray that through. Okay, let's open it up for some questions there on pioneering persistence, the issue of patience. Any questions? Yeah, Micah.
So what would be the balance between patience and like expectation, as far as like if a worker is laboring and doing everything right, but just not seeing results, like what is, at what point does patience and expectation, like how does that cross over?
Yeah, good question. Expectation has to be built ultimately. There's one thing. Expectation must be built on the Word of God. So this comes back to the unacceptable, right? If God has said and promised, and that's my experience doesn't line up with His Word, then that's unacceptable. So that forms my expectations. Right? Jesus says in John 15, and you will bear fruit and much fruit, and your fruit will remain. So if that's not happening, my expectation is God's word. That's unacceptable. But how that works and plays out gives me the patience. Right? It's just, God, I know you can do it. I'm waiting on you. I'm going to keep doing what I need to do. Right? That's the patient part. The expectation is rooted in the word of God. So it's gonna line up, but you're gonna begin to see that happen. You're gonna begin to see that take place. And like I said, you're gonna see it in varying levels. It's not like we went into Santa Fe and everything and every person was growing slow or growing fast. It was variables, right? New York, same thing. It was variables. And so but it comes back to the number one thing, the foundation of the Word of God. That should form expectation.
Yep.
And patience is, I hold the promise until we get there. Yep.
So I heard a couple of pastors preach before that they refused to sing that song, Teach Me, Lord, to Wait. So the question is, should we pray for patience? People that don't want to pray for patience, is that like a superstition?
I think absolutely. Be still and know that I'm God. Right? He tells us so many different ways on this issue. Paul is saying it. Why? Because look at the rest of what we're going to look at. Anybody want to sign up? Right? In distress, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors. We're going to look at all that. Okay? So you're going to need some stinking patience sometimes. Right? And again, it's not like this, I'm just waiting on God, brother. Yeah, that is an extreme, but you're doing nothing. You're immobilized. A body in motion stays in motion. A body at rest stays at rest. Okay, so if you're not doing anything, then no, you're not going to have results. But you can be doing everything. And why you're not having results, coming a little bit back to Micah's question, it could be dominion. It could be, some form of resistance. It could be you, right? When we think about convert killers, it should start with right here. Am I the convert killer? Then some pastors have said, then is it your wife? Is it your kids? Okay, all right. So we're good there, right? So you're in the patience part, David. You're not going to always get that convert that is outside of revival. Right? Outside of revival. But I can name the names of those converts that just took off. Right? Terrence Benavides, Orlando Gallegos, Chana Gallegos, Bree, Nelson Colon, Brittany Colon. I mean, I can go down of the fast growers. Right? Look, I've stopped at six. And there's some others I'm sure I'm missing, but in the overall, I can name six in the span of nearly 15 years of ministry. Okay, I'm going to need some patience then, aren't I? Right? For things to turn. In New York, like I said, it took about 2 years before I really felt, my wife and I, we really felt like we are their pastors. Why? Because the previous pastor was there 9 years. Many of the church kids that were now adults, 9 years of their life into adulthood, going into adulthood, I mean, there's some things that were just ingrained. There were some things that were just put in. I'm turning the Titanic. I'm not turning a speedboat. So in turning the Titanic, I need some patience. Right? There's all kinds of things. It's just going to be slow. You don't have to fix everything for God to help you. So what did I need? I needed patience. Otherwise, I was going to try to turn the Titanic like a speedboat, and it was going to wreck. It was going to go down. So you absolutely, this is a quality. In working with men, I just got a call, and I shared this breakfast, I think it was, or maybe here. But anyway, a call from a guy in New York that I worked with and had to put so many boundaries on at first, like, and it wasn't until literally the last 3 months before I left that we worked on a project together, because we finally, nearly 5 years later, he got to a point where it's like, yes, you can run this play and I'll help you, and it was good. And that was a 5-year process. Imagine if I gave up on him day one when he was so critical, right? Nope, written off. You're not changing in a week? Then forget it. No, it was a 5-year long of good ups and downs. And so now from that point, he's still involved in ministry. He's still writing plays and helping the churches in the region. And he just called me the other day. He said, I was able to preach my second sermon. And he said, and I credit that to you. I needed some stinking patience, right? So it really is a quality, yes, that you're going to have. Some people, they're just going to grow different. Good. But it helps you not to give up on people. Something Pastor Greg has repeated. I've learned in life, not to give up on people. Why though? Patience. Why patience? Because I can trust God. Good. Yes, Cliff.
So when do you know when you need to give up?
Mm-hmm.
Like when is patience too much?
Yeah, that's a good question. When is it too much? Pastor Greg has a saying that says, sometimes we are trying to hold on to people God is trying to get rid of, and we're trying to get rid of people God is trying to hold on to. And so what you need, Cliff, is discernment, which is why, he teaches, Pastor Greg teaches, and I've adopted, my number one prayer in life is for wisdom, because we need that. It is a discernment, which is why Paul says, I can be these things in our passage by purity. Da, da. And then one of those is by the Holy Spirit. I need that Holy Ghost discernment. Because there were some people that Paul said, okay, enough, right? There were some boundaries that Paul said, okay, enough. So it's not that you're just patient to a point that is destructive, or you're patient with people to the point that they're burning and ripping people off or offending people away. I'm just giving them some time. They just got a lot of character. No, stop. That's going to stop, right? You set those boundaries. So then in working with people, yes, I have a sense of when I know, let me think how to word this right. I have an awareness of when I'm being too pushy, right? If I'm messaging, let's say, with a convert that was been really awesome, God's working in their lives, and then they start ghosting me, and then I text them about anything else, hey, want to meet up for lunch, hey, you know, sport, whatever, and they're into it, and then you bring up church, and they seize up, okay, that's telling me I should probably release this line a little bit and focus on some others, but leave the door open. Not completely shut them out, but I don't have to pour my focus now or my attention. I don't have to keep being patient. I can put my energy elsewhere, but again, just leave the door open. So you develop a feel and some discernment. So that's something to pray for. Yep. And then know when someone is harmful. I need to know that. I need to know if someone is going to be harmful to new converts, harmful to people in church, etc., because I'm not going to be, there are certain things you just can't be patient for, right? Good. Very good. Any other questions? It's too cold to think, yes.
So as a pastor taking over a church like he did in Santa Fe, Rochester, was it like the analogy, like the picture of running that race as a pastor, is it accurate to say like, okay, you were the pace setter and you were like, okay, let's start, let's go in on outreach, let's do these things, right? And kind of based off of the Bible, right? You're not going to, you're kind of setting where the bar is. And then if there's people that are kind of slow, you're kind of coming back around, encouraging them, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's certain people that are just going to, like, overnight, they're going to start sprinting, you know, disciplining, exercising, you know, so they can run that race.
Right.
Is that a correct analogy where you're, like, I'm going to give grace to those people that are, it's going to take time?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, and I'm nodding with you because, yes, absolutely. And that's what patience does, is it helps you look at, right, there's some pastors, they demand 100% out of 100% of their people, right? That's just not going to happen. Think about not only the variables of where people are at in a church our size, but think also about the variables in age, in ability. So if you're demanding 100%, 100% of the time, 100% attendance, 100% involvement, 100, like, obviously this is imbalance. Right? There has to be a standard as well. But when you're expecting that of everyone 100% of the time, even just age would be a factor, wouldn't it? It's like how that poor person that's going through a health thing, they're feeling so guilty and condemned because I can't be there and I know I'm supposed to be. It's like, no. Exactly like you said, you set the bar, right? You're leading by example. You're running, and there's going to be people that are going to say, hey, I want to run with you. I want to do that with you. I want to be a disciple. I want to be on outreach. I want to be on follow-up. And they're coming up, but then there's others that are like, I'd like to get there. There's just factors right now. But yeah, you're circling back. You're giving encouragement. You're giving grace, and you have grace, right? But it helps you to know where to run with them, right? Like Esau. When Esau and Jacob are reunited, Esau goes, Jacob, let's go, man. Let's have a party. This is awesome. This reunion, right? And what does Jacob do? He goes, Esau, you run ahead. You run ahead. I've got women and children and all these other things. We're going to get there. We're just going to take some time. So yeah, some are going to run with Esau, but others are going to walk with Jacob. And so you've got to have that discernment. Yep. And work with people where they're at. Which is why, again, now, in kind of what you're saying, Pastor Greg has said, Pastor Wayman had the ability to pull the best out of flawed people. So you're looking at life, but I'm patient. I can work with those flaws. I can work with those shortcomings. I can work with some of those character issues to help get the best out of them. And when you get the best out of a person, they're like, hey, I did that. You're like, yeah, you did. And then they want to keep that. They want to keep that going. They're inspired to make it their own and continue. Yeah. So absolutely. You're circling back. You're a pacer, but you're also coming back, giving aid. And yeah, it's a lot, which is why you need that element of patience. Good. Yeah, Cliff,
yeah,
one more.
Just thinking back to my question a little bit. What is a list of maybe things that you shouldn't have patience with? Like, it seems like the main one would be just damaging the church. If it's damaging, if there's people not able to go forward because of their problem people, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that would be probably the main one, is that if as long as they're just hurting themselves,
yeah,
it won't matter, and not the church, then you can have patience with those people, essentially.
Well, yeah, I mean, and again, yes, I would say that is correct, a correct assessment. When it's affecting other people, immediately I'm going to step in. Mm-hmm. But can I give you a list? No, because it just depends. Really, that's the answer. It depends. There were things, when I say in New York, that there were things that pastors like, I don't know, they're all poison. What do you think? I don't want to drink any of them. But I have to pick one, right? There was things that at first, I did that. There would be other pastors that'd be like, you what? You're like, it'd be terrifying. But it's where the church was at, and I had to, what's tolerable and what's lethal, right? But absolutely, if it is going to affect people and cause them to stumble, quit, leave, etc., yeah, those are things that, no, it's not workable. But again, that's less to do with patience and more to do with boundaries, right? That's less to do with I'm patient with people. I can still be patient with people and give them boundaries. It doesn't mean that my patience has run out. No, it just means that this is business. It has to be done, right? But I'll still be patient with them. Yep. Yep, the gentleman that I shared with you guys about, that here, he just gave me a call, some weeks back, that he was able to preach his second sermon. There was a lot of boundaries I put on him. There was a lot of things and issues we worked through. But throughout the whole course of it, I had patience. I kept patience. I trusted God. I prayed for him. Right. So, yeah. Good. Good question. Very good, guys. Thank you for your time.